the Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
There's a growing hostility towards cyclists. We're somehow seen as a nuisance when in fact we're just people trying to get to work.
I've never ever gotten one bad word said to me about my sexuality or from the opposition or from, actually in one bad time, seriously, the girl was marking me so tightly. I was like, I have a girlfriend.
I'm not the person I was 10 years ago. And that doesn't worry me. I know I can play good enough golf.
Don't miss the panel every Saturday afternoon only on Off the Ball.
The OTB Podcast Network.
All right, you're welcome back to Friday's Off the Ball. So we now know the lay of the land for the inter-county GAA season. All going well, the inter-county season will resume on the weekend of the 17th and 18th of October, and we will have All-Ireland champions crowned in both codes before the end of the year, with the All-Ireland hurling final due to take place on Sunday the 13th of December and the All-Ireland football final taking place the week before Christmas on Saturday the 19th of December. We also learned today the Leinster football final will be held on the 100th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. In terms of championship structure, the football championship, well, that will revert to a provincial knockout, straight knockout. New York won't be involved, but London, it's expected, will be involved. So straight knockout in the football. All-Ireland semi-final see the Munster champions against the Connacht champions, and the Leinster champions take on the Ulster champions. While in hurling, well, that's going to revert to a straight knockout in the provinces, but there will be a back door leading into the All-Ireland quarter-finals. To talk about this, I'm joined on the line by seven-time All-Ireland winner with Dublin and now Super Value GAA Ambassador Bernard Brogan. Evening, Bernard.
Ben, how are you? Are you well?
Very well. So I just wanted to play a couple of clips from today's press conference at Croke Park from some of those involved and giving their reasonings for how they came about to this championship structure. I might start with the GAA's Director of Player, Club and Games Administration, Fergal McGill, on why they didn't go for an outright open draw in the football championship and opted for the provincial championship structure instead.
We didn't rule anything in or out when we sat down to do the fixtures. A couple of things, though, did occur to us while we were doing those. The first thing is, if you play the provincial championships in football, you're going to have four teams with silverware at the end of the year, at a minimum, possibly five of a different, four teams. In hurling, you're going to have at least two teams as winners and possibly three if a different team wins the All-Ireland. So that was one of the reasons, is that you're going to have five finals at least four teams with silverware. But another reason was you have to consider what are you trying to solve in terms of having an open draw. Usually people tell you, well, what you want to solve is to avoid cannon fodder for the big teams. But an open draw does not solve that. In fact, it might add to it. So on balance, we felt the best approach was the provincial championships.
So it will be provincial championships, straight knockout within that though, and it's going to mean some cracking fixtures early on in the championship, including Tyrone against Donegal. We may well see Mayo against Roscommon in a Connacht semi-final, Cork against Kerry as well. The championship though, it's going to be a real rush to get through, and they'll be hoping there's no postponements and any weather issues at any stage to get that done by Christmas. Here's Fergal McGill again on why they want to finish the championship within the calendar year.
The big thing is we're keeping an eye on 2021 as well. So if you went into January or February with your championships, it causes mayhem for 2021. So I suppose we want to minimise the damage, for want of a better word, that COVID has done to the GAA calendar and done to our fixtures. And it's like pulling off a plaster. Get it done as quickly as you can and try and get back to normal as soon as you can. So we will be coming back, obviously, with a 2021 master fixtures plan later in the year, and I think it'll make more sense then as to why we did what we did. We're still probably going to have to compromise a bit on the 2021 calendar, but if you went into January and February, you have to build in a rest period after the All-Ireland finals are over. So really, if you talk about playing an All-Ireland final in February, you're really talking about not being able to restart again until March or April, and the knock-on effect of that would obviously be a negative one for clubs. So that was very much at the centre of our thinking as well.
So that is Fergal McGill talking about why we will have the championship run off in just a matter of a couple of months. So that's the middle of October for a championship return. The club season is due to start at the end of July, and inter-county players aren't meant to return to training until the middle of September. Though, as always, there's rumour that some counties may already be back in training. The GAA President John Horan and their Director General Tom Ryan spoke about whether there'll be any sanction for county teams returning early.
We're not intending to. We'd like people to call them out, but we're not actually intending to impose any penalties. That'd be fair to say, Tom?
Yeah, we haven't really looked at it in detail yet, Uachtaráin. Yeah. I suppose today is about the fixtures programme, the calendar, and what that might look like. The next step is looking at what safeguards that we put around that. But I think myself, you know, the last 3 or 4 months and the reason that we're at the stage that we're at is because the country as a whole and the association has showed a great degree of restraint and personal responsibility. And that's the thing that we'd like to rely on first and foremost before we get into it. It hasn't been a summer for penalties and for sanctions. And I'm not really sure that that's the right realm for this thing either. So what we'll be looking at people to do first and foremost is to... Fergal said it. All the stuff that Fergal has outlined here now is something for us all to aim for and to hope to get to. But we have to do an awful lot of things right in order for us to get to that stage. And part of that is abiding by the timelines and the principles that we've set out. So we'll be asking people to abide by those because they're the right thing to do. If there's a second stage required in terms of sanctions, rules, penalties and so on, yeah, of course we look at that, but that's not one for today.
Bernard, there's a lot in all that. On the one hand, I guess, look, it's great to be even talking about the potential of having a championship and championship football in 2020. This structure that they've gone for, it could have been an open draw. They could have gone down any number of different routes and tried something totally different. They've gone back to what we had 20 years ago. Like, is this the right route, do you think, for them to go?
I think the short space of time they have to execute this, I think it is, for that reason that Fergal mentioned there, that there will be excitement in every game. There will be provincial finals. There'll be more energy around them. If you just had an open draw, you might have a fixture early on that you didn't want. That could have been an All-Ireland final in people's minds. So it keeps kind of that thing we know, that kind of the provincial into bringing together the teams from Munster and Connacht and Ulster into Leinster. I think it'll create that excitement. There's been enough kind of change. So I think that just going with what we know will keep people entertained, but also have that kind of bit of spark in each game. But there is a Leinster semi-final, there's a final, then we're into the business end. Do you know what I mean? It gives momentum to the few weeks. Mm. Reminds me of 2010, when we went through the back door week on week. What an amazing place to be for inter-county players and spectators to watch it. So I'm actually really excited about it.
I guess the counter to that is that, in a way, we could have two potential All-Ireland finals even within this provincial structure. So Donegal, Tyrone are two sides who would feel they could challenge Dublin. Cork and Kerry, all right, Kerry certainly will feel they can challenge Dublin, and Cork traditionally would be seen as a team who could produce a run. They're going to meet in the first round. Their first game, one of them is gone after one match. Whereas Dublin, like what you're talking about, is 10 years ago, will be expected to cruise through a Leinster championship. Again, we also have a real dogfight in Connacht with three teams going there. That a 32-team open draw would actually be fairer than what we have here, and potentially Donegal having to beat Tyrone, Armagh, Monaghan and Dublin to even get to an All-Ireland final.
Yeah, well, would there have been seeding in the question, would there have been seeding in the open draw? What about if you had a Dublin versus Kerry in the first round in October, do you know what I mean? I'm not 100% sure was there going to be seeding in that, obviously that they didn't go down that route. But I just think that there's... Like, it's October, it's November, you know, it's wet ground, probably hard, softer ground. It's a real leveler of a competition. I think Leinster will be much more competitive. I think counties will be foaming at the mouth at the opportunity to get a crack at the Dublin, the Kerrys, the Mayos, the Roscommons. These teams will be, yes, they'll be ready to go and prepared. But if I was a competitor, an underdog coming into those games, a wet day in Croke Park, ball skidding, soft ground. Obviously, Croke Park will have it immaculate, but still, that time of the year, like early league football, where you see a load of different results that you mightn't expect in championship football when the ground is hard and people are running on top of the surface. It's a real leveler. So I think there, yes, obviously the favourites will be the favourites, but what an opportunity for the teams, the underdogs, to come in and create. I think that we'll see several upsets during the period.
it is obviously now going to be do or die. So maybe in comparison to last year and the introduction of the Super 8s and for decades before that, the back door, that if it is, say, a Dublin-Meath Leinster final, Meath know if it is their day, as long shot it would seem right now, that Dublin are gone. That's it. They're not going to come back from the dead in a backdoor system in a Super 8s, and they can use the strength and depth of their squad. So maybe there is that side of it. From a Dublin player's point of view, will it add extra pressure, the fact that there is no backdoor?
I think so. I think the backdoor has probably helped probably the more stronger teams than it has the week. I know it gives more games, and that was the reason for it. But it definitely has helped giving teams that lose a provincial final a second chance, like a Kerry or a Dublin or a Tyrone or something like that. That how many winners we had that came through the back door, like the proof is there. So I don't think Dublin will be worried about not having a back door. Like every team that has ambition is going out to win every game. There's going to be no change to that. And hasn't gone through the back door that often, Dublin, you know. So I don't think that's going to affect them. But it will give other teams that opportunity that, right, all we need to have is that one day where everyone clicks and we get over the line. You know what I mean? That kind of, there's a lot of energy, and that will give a lot of teams hope that they can actually have a turnover one of the bigger teams, definitely.
With the current climate crisis, God knows what the weather is going to be like come November, December. Maybe it'll be a mild winter and conditions will be perfect, and we may even get some people back into grounds. You would have played a lot of club football at that time of the year. Is there any difference, as you say, the hard ground? Like, is that a factor in how the inter-county game will be played, do you think, come championship time?
Yeah, absolutely. I was born to be a summer footballer, top of the ground stuff. Like, no matter what way you look at it, the ground will be softer. That means that pace, it's an equaliser for people with pace, that you can catch these people, that they can't get away from you as quick, they can't turn as agile as they might on a harder ground. So it's very much a leveller. As you said, you don't know what the weather will be, but no doubt we'll have a lot of rain either then or before it. So I think it's a really, really level playing field. Like if you're playing a league game in February and you go into a Breffni Park or something like that, and you're going to get your fill of it. You know what I mean? Or any county ground, you know. So I think teams will. I think the underdogs will take more energy from this process than the, let's say, the top teams that have had kind of varying levels of success over the last couple of years.
How much more difficult of a challenge is this new championship structure and the way it's all going to be run through so quickly for Desi Farrell in particular, and for any of the new inter-county managers who were just getting used to the routine of league football and probably had their entire year planned out? They're so well organised, I'm sure he had his calendar pretty much set in stone. If the counties stay and don't return to full training until the 14th of September, a month before championship, is that enough to get your message across to have everybody firing in all cylinders?
It's a challenge. There's no shadow of a doubt. Desi will have obviously, he's come in late, even in the year as it is, got up and away. He's only trying out a few new players. Like, he won't have that luxury. He'll probably have to rely on what he's seen over the last number of years in the main. He has experience of a lot of younger guys that come through from his underage management. But it's definitely going to be a challenge. The style of play, you only so much of an adaption you can make to a style that team is used to. They would have been working on stuff, I'm sure, and all teams would have been during the league about what way to play. And Desi would have his own ideas, to Jim Gavin, you know. So he mightn't have that full period to execute them all to the full ability. Albeit he'll have the time to, over the summer, to have conversations, to I'm sure chat to players, chat to management, and come up with the best process that he's going to attack the year in. So I'll probably give him a bit of stability in that, and probably got to know people a bit better from probably tapping into them, chatting to them, stuff like that. So in one way, not much time on the pitch. I think that's going to be the real challenge for everyone. I know even myself with the club stuff, for like the first few weeks of COVID, and everyone was training hard, and a lot of people doing runs, stuff like that. So I think people will be, not going to be a doubt in people's fitness, people's strength. I think a lot of inter-county footballers will be doing a lot of weights. They'll be in really good nick. The challenge is that there's been no football in hands, I suppose, or very little football in hands. And we'll, in the club stuff, they'll be all trying to get that. I think the skill levels will be the challenge to get them up to the level that they need to be for every team. So that'll be the area that they need to work on big time.
you're obviously on the other side of the fence now, where the club is your primary focus. There's potentially an 11, 12 week window in there for club championship to be run off. Has it been set in stone yet as to what's going to happen in Dublin?
No, I think we kick off since we're back training, obviously, it's kicking off into the 17th of July, around that time. And it's, I was playing a bit of hurling and playing a bit of football, so I'm not exactly sure if that's, I'm sure it's possible, but I haven't got into logistics of it. I've the twins at home, I'm only getting back into it myself, because obviously Cresh has not been there, and having a tough work week and having the challenge, and everyone's having their own challenges in COVID. So yeah, I'm not exactly sure like how it's going to work from a dual point of view, if I'd be able to do that. Hoping I'll be able to play a bit of hurling, but yeah, it's again, it's like I was playing a bit of hurling, gathering momentum, trying to get my skills up, and then having picked up a hurler and a puck around at the back, you know, so I mightn't be up to the pace with myself. But with club stuff, yeah, we just get back in. Lads are fit. Lads have been doing their own runs. We've been motivating ourselves on the WhatsApp group to do time trials and different things like that. But again, more so even with club, just the ball in hand hasn't been there. So I think the skill level, but it's the same for everyone. So it's an equal playing field. But looking forward to getting back out there. The weather's been great. So really looking forward to kind of getting back out with the lads and having a go at it. And again, like ourselves, we're an underdog now with Plunkett, so we're an aging team. We competed in 3 finals in Dublin Championship over the last 10 years, but a few of us are getting a bit older, so it might be a little bit of an opportunity for us to knock a couple of the bigger teams off as well.
That answer that we heard from John Horne and Tom Ryan, surprised by it in a way that it was a little bit wishy-washy, considering they must have known it was coming, about county players waiting until the middle of September, and that they don't have anything really planned if county managers break that, and almost asking people to call out and to, I don't know if there's going to be a hotline if you see 5 members of an inter-county team training together that you can call into and something will happen that there'll be some sort of consequence for. Now that you are on the other side, do you hope and do you expect that managers will wait till the middle of September, or haven't been in and around that elite Dublin system? And it's unfair to focus just on Dublin because all the counties are in the same position. Do you think it's unfair in inter-county managers to expect them to wait till the middle of September to get their hands on players for full group sessions?
Yes, I do think it's unfair. It's a very difficult challenge. Obviously, the club scene is so important, and it is the masses of our game. 95%, 98% of people are playing club, not inter-county. But inter-county is such an important part to motivate and to drive and get kids playing and stuff like that. So it holds a lot of weight. So it's a real challenge now. As you said, I mentioned about Desi having only a month to bring the team together. I'm sure lads have been tipping away with plans that were sent to them, stuff like that, and fitness stuff, and there's GPS that every inter-county team has. So I'm sure the fitness levels and stuff like that will be well managed by the S&C coaches around the country. But for managers to get people together, to get that style of football, like I obviously played for a long time at Dublin, and your relationships you build with people, like the Paul Flynn, the ball over the top of you to play with me, working inside Ron O'Gara, you build that in the training ground, that knowledge of the player, understanding where they want the ball, where you want the ball, the runs that I make. It's like it's a new team, there's a new style of football, I'm sure, in the Dublin setup, but in every setup. And not having that few months to kind of just get to know each other a bit better, especially when any newcomers are coming in. It's a real challenge, yeah, big time.
Might Desi then have to reevaluate his plans? Listen, I'm sure Dublin 5 in a row, he wasn't going to go in and make wholesale radical changes to style of football. But I'm sure there are nuances and there are slight differences to what Jim Gavin would have wanted to have done over the last few years. It's proved so successful that actually maybe the best management right now is to just leave well enough alone. As you say, that trust that you and Paul Flynn and Owen O'Gara would have from doing it week in, week out on the training field, that's not there if you try something new. And you don't want that little bit of uncertainty creeping into players of, yeah, I know what he wants, but we've actually only done this in 5-6 sessions.
Yeah, and in fairness, like repetition and that kind of continuous kind of trying out of different plays and just been the hours on the pitch that you spend is the only solution for that. There's no silver bullet that can make people be aware of their players around, especially these new players bringing in. I'm sure Desi had plans for his own stamp on what was going on. If you're asking, if it was me, if I was the Dublin manager, I wouldn't be making massive wholesale changes. I think the personnel there have experience. There may be a bit of energy, some legs maybe you could bring in, but the team is so fit. It's still a young team. And I'm sure Desi has his own plans. But if it was me coming in, I wouldn't be making massive changes to the personnel or to the style of football. I just think you don't have the time to work on it. I think that's the piece that teams are going to struggle with. You can do all the video in the world and you can talk about things, but the only way to do it is on a training pitch and to learn what actually falls out of practicing it, you know. So that's the challenge.
In terms of your peak fitness when you were with Dublin and the time of year that you would hit peak fitness, how long of full-on inter-county training would it take generally for you to feel, you know what, I'm at it. I'm at, no matter how tough a championship challenge we're going to face, 70 minutes extra time, whatever comes, I'm ready for it. How many weeks would it generally take you to get to that level?
It takes a good bit of time. You kind of go in different scale, in different stages. So we obviously trying to peak, you're trying to win a league, and then you're coming back down to club. Obviously you're competing at the top level, but you're trying to peak at different times. Obviously, as Dublin, we're trying to peak in September, the end of August, and that's when you're trying to build up your training and the science behind it with Brian Cullen, our S&C coach. So it's going to be very difficult. Like it takes a few weeks to just blow those cobwebs off, and coming back for a month, you can't do the hard running. The hard running will be done off-site, I'm sure, and with club training and stuff like that. And lads will be pushed to work hard, I'm sure, in every county, that for club training, you have a certain velocity you need to get there, a certain intensity you have to do, because obviously club training might be at the intensity. So over the summer, I'm sure every inter-county team will be sending messages back to their players to where GPS is to be keeping track of it, and to make sure that they're hitting the numbers they need to be, so that when they get back together, it can be purely tactical, so that they can walk through, they can go through the style of play they want to play, the attack. If it's someone coming up against Dublin, they can role play who's going to mark who, or who's going to take on different players, and so they don't have much time to do that. So I think they'd be okay fitness wise. I genuinely think that people have been training hard, all Cork counties, and I think they'd be well in great nick. Watching lads on Instagram and stuff like that from different counties and the Dubs, everyone looks like they're strong, and they're probably doing a lot of running, because it's all you can do, I suppose. So their legs would be good. It's just about that final piece that is that's the winning and losing for me. It's the mindset and it's the tactical piece. Like, every team is as fit as each other, and who comes out on top, I believe that the marginal gains and the competitive advantage is in your mindset, and also how tactically you can set up. You look at Donegal back when they beat us, Jim McGuinness era, they tactically came up with a solution to beating the better teams with the personnel that they had, you know what I mean? And will a team be able to come up with a nuance? Yes, teams have come up with a way of beating that structure in some ways, but you never know what teams will show at you. But do they have enough time to really go after a strategy or a tactic that can take on the Kerrys, the Mayos, the Dublins, the Tyrones, you know? So that's the interesting piece.
You're no stranger at Instagram yourself. Was it Philly who was putting you through your paces during this lockdown?
Yeah, when you mention me and my peak fitness, like, I was a short and sharp man, an inside line forward. I never had the legs at any of those lads out the middle. But yeah, Philly asked me for a favour, and he said, "Will you do a bit of a half an hour session with me?" I go, "Oh, it can't be too hard, so they'll take it easy on you." And he absolutely knocked me sideways with three all-in squats, sit-ups. It was a bit after, as I said, cardio isn't my favourite thing to do. But no, it's good to get it. It's like anything, once you get it done, you're delighted. It's just getting the motivation to get it done. And Philly's been great as motivating people throughout COVID with his Instagram and stuff like that. And there's been loads of people who've done great. Kieran O'Kenny did some great work on skills for young GA fans. And people, I see TJ Reid doing great fitness classes down at Kilkenny for people online. So it's great. I think the GA community has been amazing. The support's given each other, and we always rely. And I think I always talk about culture and the culture of an organisation. It's in times of challenge that culture gets, you cash in your chips. I think that the GA community has really backed themselves, not only themselves, but back their communities as well. The elderly and the kids and supporting people. So that was great. That was energising for me to see that, as always, the GA comes out on top and digs in deep to their community.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Kieran Kilkenny. And listen, I know he has other priorities and he has a job and he probably has career ambitions. But you look at what he did and think, God, the GEA should be paying him a good chunk of money and just putting him out there, showing kids up and down the country skills week in, week out. Because I know my own kids were doing it and loving it, and he just has such a brilliant connection and such a real grow for it. And that spirit of the GEA embodied, if it's embodied in one man, it's embodied in Kieran Kilkenny.
Yeah, that's fair. And he has the Gaelic as well. Like, he actually just slam dunked it, really, you know. He's a very relatable guy. He's a guy who, like, just worked hard as a kid, focused on his skills, you know. So he's a real, real great inspiration to any under kid or any kid that just plays the game, you know. So yeah, you're dead right. Like, as an organization, every organization in sport should be looking at influencers like Kieran and did for us for a number of weeks. And I know how much work that goes into what he did. It is all day. That is, I know it goes up in a few clips on Instagram, but that takes hours. I was half thinking of helping him at one stage, and I knew he was feeling the pinch, but I said, no, you keep going. He's in fairness to him, yeah, great credit to himself. And I know that a lot of people have really thanked him and stuff like that. And in fairness, he's done a great job.
Yeah, he certainly did. Bernard, great to talk to you.
Good talk to you, Nate. Thank you.
Bernard Brogan there, SuperValu GAA ambassador on the new championship structure.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.